Download previous episodes of Monday Night Talk and listen to them anywhere. Check out 959watt.com/Monday Night Talk. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
That's right, it is more Monday Night Talk, but I'm Christine James. Kevin Tachi is here with me. He is the host of Monday Night Talk, but he's also doing double or triple duty there with a couple of video cameras because it's a political forum tonight. I'm Christine James, your moderator. Joining me to ask questions is Monday Night Talk show host Kevin Tachi and WATD's Charles Mathewson. Tonight, the race is for the Plymouth and Barnstable Senate seat. Two Democrats in studio here vying to be on the general election ballot in November. The winner will face Republican Vinny DiMacedo in the general election. Now, the district includes Bourne, Falmouth, Kingston, Pembroke, Plymouth, and Sandwich. We've got Stephen Michael Palmer here and Deb Rudolph. Thanks so much for joining us tonight. Our format is simple. We've asked the candidates to have opening and closing statements ready, the opening no longer than 2 minutes, and closing no longer than 1 minute. In between, we like to ask a round of questions called the lightning round. And lightning means fast and quick and to the point, so that means yes or no. And yes or no is yes or no without an explanation. Or one or two sentences, and the reporter will ask and decide what kind of an answer they want. And we do time this because we ask you to keep your answers to a 1 minute. I give you a few seconds grace time and then the bell. And keeping time, here is our own Amy Leonard. She has our three lovely cards there. See them? Thank you. It's green, red, and yellow. Green is go, red is stop, yellow means you have 10 seconds.
Speed up.
That's right. Spoken like a true Massachusetts driver. I pay my taxes. I'll drive wherever and however I want. Very nice. So that's Amy Leonard doing that great job there. So we did choose names a little bit earlier from the official WATD koozie about opening and closing order. We're going to begin with Deb Rudolph, then go to Stephen Michael Palmer, and reverse that at the end of this forum. So let's start right now and get our opening statement from Deb Rudolph. Good evening.
Good evening, Christine. It's wonderful to be here, and I want to thank WATD and you for hosting this, but also so much more for WATD for all the amazing coverage that the South Shore gets from this station. It's such a fabulous resource that we have here that provides such a service both for our young people and for the community at large. And that service is what I'm all about also. I really want to go up to Boston and take the voice of the people up there and be a new voice in the Democratic Party. I think that there's too many entrenched people there, and we really need to change the tenor and the conversation. I'm really interested in building a positive, collegial atmosphere up there where we can really talk about the important issues and make some changes that will really benefit down here. I have a breadth and depth of experience that I think really suits me well to be able to go up to Beacon Hill and really have an impact there. I really know how to bring people together and have conversations, my background in mediation and dispute resolution, and then my background in the law. So I'm really looking forward to representing the people of this district and to taking a new voice up to Boston and making a difference for us down here on the South Shore.
Thank you very much. That was the opening statement with Deb Rudolph, and now the opening statement with Stephen Michael Palmer.
I'm a lifelong Democrat, have lived in Plymouth for 21 years. My two children went to the Plymouth Public Schools. Running a grassroots campaign on the hope that the voters have the power to change the status quo by electing someone new to state Senate seat on Beacon Hill. What does it take to change or overturn the political shenanigans on Beacon Hill? Our $42 billion state budget was more concerned about horse racing than school funding. Whatever happened to the common good? I'm tired of the good old boy political stronghold on the taxpayers, to say nothing about the indifference to us. How about waiting in line for 3 hours to get paperwork done at the Registry of Motor Vehicles? God forbid if you ever get laid off from your job. The state only gives you half your paycheck, while state legislators voted a pay raise of $18 million. This is our money, not theirs. This isn't politics. It's politricks. There is no transparency on Beacon Hill. It's all a big secret. We only know what they tell us. Who's representing the poor taxpayers? Who doesn't have say in matters anymore? The person who is living paycheck to paycheck is my concern.
Thank you very much. That was the opening statement for Stephen Michael Palmer. Again, both Democrats running for the Plymouth Barnstable Senate seat, hoping to unseat Vinnie DiMaceto, the Republican incumbent during the general election. Let's open our questions now with host of Monday Night Talk, Kevin Chachi.
Thank you, Christine. And we'll start with Stephen. Stephen, my question, this is your third try for state office with previous runs in 2016 for state representative, 2012 for state senate. Seeing that you had previous two attempts that weren't successful, what are you going to do differently this time for hopefully a successful outcome?
Well, this time is my third time to run. It's just the fact is you have to keep running. You know, my name isn't Kennedy. It's still a grassroots campaign. I don't have a lot of money, and I do have some money, and, you know, money is the milk of politics. But, you know, is it a win or a lose situation? It all depends. You know, you're going to meet people, you're going to talk to people, and you're going to enjoy what you're doing. It's funny, I saw Tilo Jackson in Boston, and he said, "Have fun, Steve." So this is kind of fun for me to change my being, you know, take money, take political action money, take PAC money. I'm not going to do it. You know, I'd rather lose than take that money and be, you know, get along to go along. You know, I don't believe that.
Okay. Deb, my question for you, I'll start out with asking, have you ever been appointed or elected to a municipal board or committee?
No, I haven't, Kevin.
Okay. How can the voters trust that you'll understand your district's needs if you haven't served in such a capacity?
I have served certainly in a variety of other capacities. I've been a lifelong advocate for people who have not been able to stand up for themselves. I started out working in a daycare center for abused and neglected infants and toddlers, and that really taught me about people who are truly down and out. From that, I've most recently been a member of the Massachusetts chapter of the National Academy of Elder Law Attorneys, and I serve on their public policy committee. So from that committee, I've learned a lot about how to get through the legislative process. I've been a strong advocate for women and children. I've been a strong civil rights advocate. I've put together a lot of public service in terms of advocating for the LGBT community. I served on the LGBT Elder Project in Boston. I was also appointed by the Mass Chapter of Elder Law Academy to represent them on the Mass Bar Association when they were reviewing all the laws that related to that. So I have a lot of experience in advocating for people and working for them.
Okay. Charles Matthews, any questions for the candidates?
Hey, Deb, years ago, I asked a woman who was running for public office. What was her name? Terry Murray. She was running against an entrenched incumbent. And I remember here at ATD, and I was a newspaper reporter, asking her, "You have no political experience. Why are you doing this, running for state senate against Ned Kirby instead of running for town meeting rep or selectman first?" She won that race. And every 2 years after that, until she retired, I heard her say, "Well, Charlie, do you think I have enough experience now?" I said, "Yes, Terry, you're the Senate president. I think maybe you do." So I have to ask you, why are you doing this without first running for town meeting rep in Plymouth or selectman?
You know, I would love to follow in Terry's footsteps. She did such an amazing job for us, and we lost a very important voice when Terry stepped down and she retired. And I just really want to bring that voice of advocacy and power and strength back for women up to the State House. It's just, I can't imagine why in Massachusetts only 25% of our legislators are women. That's just outrageous. I've been a member of the Plymouth Democratic Town Committee since about 2004, and I've served on as an elected delegate to the state convention. I've been following politics for a long time. The Senate is where policy is set for this state and for our district. And we really are in a time where we have to step up and really shine. The Commonwealth has been a beacon of hope and light for people throughout throughout time since we've been here. And it's really time for us to hold on to that position in light of what's coming out of Washington.
Thank you. Stephen Michael Palmer, you said you want to bring change to Beacon Hill. You said this in all three of your campaigns. What does that mean for me, the voter?
Change is the status quo. We have to understand that, you know, it's millions and millions of dollars that deal makers, political action committees, and lobbyists that is running the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. I'm asking the voters, one vote at a time. You know, you can win an election with one vote at a time. It all depends how many people that, you know, you contact and, you know, get on radio and, you know, get your flyers out and, you know, go door to door. This is my grassroots. The change will come when I will be a senator and not have baggage on my back. No lobbyists, no special interest groups, no political action committees, Charlie.
Okay, thank you.
Any follow-up on that? Okay. Just looking at some of your information on your website, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm sure you will. Deb, you seem a little bit more progressive and to the left as a Democrat. Stephen Michael Palmer, you seem like more of a traditional, old-school Democrat. If you had to align yourself with any well-known Democrat that we know in Massachusetts, which political figure would you say that you're most like? Stephen Michael Palmer.
Well, you know, I've worked on campaigns before, and I've worked for administrations before. So, you know, the two that come to mind would be Governor Ed King, God rest his soul, and Raymond Leo Flynn, mayor of Boston.
Okay. And Deb, who would you align yourself with, who you see yourself most similar as a Democrat here in Massachusetts?
Well, I think I would love to be able to say I'm really similar to Maura Healey, not least of which because we both played basketball. But also, I just, gosh, there have been so many great Democrats. I love the power and strength that Senator Kerry brought and that Ted Kennedy. I just, they're my heroes, and I would love to be able to follow in their footsteps and really be as strong an advocate as they have been for us.
Okay, thank you. Kevin Tachi, questions for the candidates?
The opioid epidemic is still one of the state's top issues. So what needs to be done by the state's elected leaders to continue the progress that's been made over the past few years? Stephen.
You know, first of all, it's a question that I get all the time and when I'm talking to people in supermarkets and, you know, and they're heartfelt because, you know, family members, et cetera. And I feel the state's not doing enough. You know, it's the fact is I think we should get a situated place, isolated place, build a isolated farm and, you know, try to get them out of society because they obviously are self-inflicting and it's a sad case. You know, some people call it a disease and I hope I don't get it. I hope my kids don't get it. You know, how do you keep people off of drugs? You keep yourself off of drugs and you keep your children off of drugs.
Same question, Deb.
Thanks, Kevin. The opioid epidemic is a catastrophe going on, and there have been positive steps that have been taken. Both the legislature has made efforts, and the Attorney General's office is making very strong efforts. And I think we need to follow up on those and stay on top of those. You know, people like Bob Hollis who step in and really pick up the baggage and really work hard to establish treatment centers. We need treatment centers that go way further than they are, and they have to really cover a program for dealing with addiction. It is a disease, and a 30-day program or a 60-day program is not going to give our people the kind of support that will sustain them into recovery. And then they need follow-up support when they come out of treatment to be able to maintain their sobriety. And these are critical issues. We also need to be doing more preventive work with our young people so that they understand the dangers of drugs and addiction and really get there to really support them in having other alternatives.
If I can ask a quick follow-up question.
Sure, absolutely.
Where does education fall, and how young do we need to educate our children in regards to the epidemic? We'll start with you, Deb.
Oh, gosh. Kids need to be starting being educated, certainly in elementary school, because even by fifth and sixth grade, kids are picking up substances that are addictive, and they are not getting enough of the good health education. Our health education policy has been deteriorating in this state, and we have to get back to having a solid health education program. Plymouth had a premier health education program that won state and federal awards, and it has steadily been deteriorated over the years by lack of funding. The state really needs to step in and make sure that our local communities are getting the kind of funding to support the kind of education that can start at a level and in a manner that children can understand that is age appropriate, so that by the time they're in the junior high school and you're stepping up the kind of language and programming that can really help them have the time to talk to each other. Kids are amazing together. I've taught mediation programs to high school and seniors and senior high schools, and those kids are just amazing when they're the ones talking.
Same question, Stephen. Education, how young should we educate our children regarding the epidemic?
You know, it's terrible that I hear it from my children when they were growing up. You know, I've always told them to not do drugs, and I've kept an eye on them, and thank God they're not on drugs. And my daughter was in the fifth grade, and I asked her about it, and she says, you know, Daddy, I see drugs every day in school. And my children went to school in Plymouth High School and grade school, and, you know, it's got to start real early. You know, it's got to start, you know, fourth, fifth grade. And, you know, I was a school teacher myself for 10 years in South Boston, so I saw drugs every day. And, you know, it's an epidemic, it's a crisis, and education is the only way to educate them.
Okay. Charles Matthews, some question for the candidates.
While we're talking about drugs, two of the towns in this district, Plymouth and Kingston, have approved recreational cannabis for adult use. I want to know, in general, how you feel about that. Specifically, do you see this as bringing a harmful substance into the community or regulating it? Stephen, are we allowing marijuana in, or is it already here and we're just regulating it?
It's already here, Charles. They voted for it. Let the people have it.
I mean, before the vote, was cannabis available on the black market, and this vote now is going to regulate it or make it worse?
It's going to regulate it.
You see that as a good thing?
People voted for it, Charlie. I can't change it.
But personally, do you see it as a good thing?
I don't.
You would prefer that we did not have cannabis sales in Plymouth and Kingston?
Charlie, again, people voted for it. So it's going to pass. It's already passed. They're going to open up the stores, and they're going to be selling marijuana down your street, Charlie. Get used to it. It's what the people wanted. It's what the people voted. Give it to them.
Deb?
Well, I would agree that it's what the people wanted and what the people voted. I think it's already here. It's already been here. It's been here for a really long time. It's been underground. And to the degree that we now have an opportunity to regulate it, we have to jump on that. We have to get smart regulations. We have to have smart approaches to what is going to be allowable use and where it's going to be allowed. I took a trip out to Oregon and Washington State earlier this year, and I was out there and I had my son kind of drive me around, because one of the things I hear a lot of people be concerned about is you're going to see people outside these stores, they're going to be smoking, it's going to be in the air, they're going to be congregating within the store. And every place that we went, there was nobody outside smoking. There was nobody just hanging around in the stores smoking. And the other thing about being able to control it is there are such, my understanding is there's a wide variety of products. It's not just about smoking. There's also whatever other kinds of ways it can be ingested and used.
Okay.
A quick follow-up on. And I was just thinking about something entirely different, so I'll forgo my follow-up. When you said edibles,
did you get hungry?
No, I didn't get hungry. Go ahead.
All right, I wasn't sure if you remember what you just forgot.
Oh, I will. You know.
Just make sure you tap me on the arm and let me know. Yeah. If you get elected, what will you do for small business in your district? Be specific. Deb?
A small business is the backbone of our communities. We have got to support them. We have to look at what's happening in terms of their access to infrastructure, their access to skilled workers, our education system. We have to make changes in our education system so that our children coming out of high school are prepared to move into the economy or onto higher education. We really need for our a vision. We need to look further into the future for what kinds of industries are going to be down the road for us so that we can develop appropriate systems that can support our small business. The other thing that we have to do for small business is we have to honor who they are and what they bring to our communities. There's too many times that we don't pay attention to the vital role that small business plays. I've been a small business owner. I had a bookkeeping business for 20 years. I've been an attorney, self-employed attorney. So I know what it's like out there for the business community.
Okay. Stephen Michael Palmer, same question. If you're elected, what would you do for a small business in the district? Be specific.
I was campaigning in Falmouth, and I knocked on this woman's door, and she came out, and she was a small business owner of a restaurant. And she was appalled by the fact that the Commonwealth had sent her a bill for her workers because they were on Mass Health. And she was asking me what I thought of it, and I said, I think it's a crime. You know, health care is a major part of everybody's paycheck now. And, you know, years ago, the fact was it was... you know, you work 40 hours and, you know, you got health care covered and you got dental. And now it's, you know, $10,000 to have health care. But the small business has been, there's got to be a balance with small business and big business, because a lot of the licenses for small business are the same price as big businesses, and they can't afford it, and it puts them out of business. So, you know, I help small business all the time when I'm campaigning. You know, I help them as much as I can, and I listen to them. So, you know, it's a backbone of this community.
Okay, thank you. Kevin Tachi, question for the candidates.
Yeah, I think I'll start with infrastructure when it comes to replacing aging bridges and roads, especially in your district. What are you willing to do? What needs to be done in order to fund, whether it's projects in your district or around the Commonwealth? It's been something that's been talked about over and over and over. It was talked about by the previous administration and this one. What needs to be done?
One of the things that needs to be done is we really need to get a coalition of people together who can really look at what the true cost is. There's nothing that takes us down the road further and faster and puts us in a hole than we start an infrastructure project, and next thing you know, first it's $2 million, and then it's $10 million, and next thing you know, it's $1 billion. So we need to have a realistic notion of what it's going to cost us. And in that, that requires planning. And that means we have to get good information from knowledgeable people so that we can make an appropriate plan. And without that, there's no way we can properly fund what needs to be done. We have crumbling bridges, we have crumbling dams, we have a problem with the bridges going over the canal. I looked at a proposal for some of the alternatives for dealing with the bridges that are coming over the canal, and there's a wide variety. So we have a lot of information. We just need to really put it together in a comprehensive, planned way, and that's how we can deal with appropriate funding for these projects.
Same question, Stephen.
When I was a town meeting member in Plymouth, Plymouth came out and said that they were going to get a bond for $25 million to fix the roads in Plymouth. And I was one of the startups there that approached the podium and said, listen, this is what the excise tax is all about. And they didn't approve the $25 million because the excise tax goes to the general fund and then they, you know, divvy it up there. I drive around all the time. I see the bridges getting fixed. I see the roads getting paved. Come back and forth to Boston. I commend the Commonwealth and what they're doing, and there's millions and billions of dollars being spent on this. And you know, they just opened up Commonwealth Avenue. I'm not going to be a critic of what they're doing. I think they're doing a great job, and keep up the good work.
Okay. Just want to let people know, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to A Political Forum. The race is for the Plymouth Barnstable Senate seat. It's for the primary race. The two Democrats here, got Deb Rudolph and Stephen Michael Palmer here on WATD answering some questions. Now let's move on to Charles Mathewson, questions for the candidates.
Hey, for both of you, what have you learned out knocking on doors? Stephen.
You learn a lot of things, Charlie. You talk to people and they tell you their problems, whether, you know, it's paying taxes, or, you know, I'm getting taxed out of my house because Plymouth taxes go up $200 and $300 a year. They're afraid that they can't pay the taxes anymore. They're going to have to move. That's just one case. The other case is a school system, a problem student that, you know, needs help, a single parent family. There's so many things when you walk into a home that you notice. It's almost like you have a passion to help people. A lot of times I'll go to somebody's house and, you know, there'll be an elderly person there and, you know, the leaves haven't been changed, or, you know, I'll rake the leaves, I'll cut the grass, and the woman will be elderly. She lost her husband, and, you know, she'll come out with a glass of milk for me. You know what I mean? And said, you know, Steve, you were brought up right. Who taught you how to do good deeds? My mother and father taught me how to good deeds, okay, to thanks. Do good deeds.
Deb, what are you learning campaigning out there?
People care. That's fundamental to so much of this. You know, there's so much hostility out there, and there's so much breakdown in civil discourse. And I love going out and talking with people and hearing how passionately they feel about the everyday events that affect their lives. And I love that people are so willing to talk and so willing to welcome you into their home and to have those conversations. I'm also learning that there are a lot of very serious issues that we need to be paying attention to. Housing is a huge issue, as Stephen just said, that this issue for elderly people staying in their homes is just an enormous issue for people. The Cape has the largest population of aging people in the Commonwealth, and they are struggling with all kinds of things, from housing and isolation to caregiver burnout. So there's just so much out there, and people want to put forward their best effort and support their neighbors and their friends and this Commonwealth.
For those of who may not be familiar with the district, it includes Bourne and Sandwich.
And Falmouth.
Right. A follow-up on that. What will you do with what you've learned while you're out campaigning, Stephen?
Again, it's every voter has a different problem that they want to have solved. What I would like to do is bring more people together and unify each town committee members and town meeting members. The fact is that we're spending too much money on salaries in the municipalities, and I really feel that it has to stop. Town manager in Plymouth makes more than the governor of Massachusetts, and it goes right back to the taxpayer. And we have to regulate. State has to come in and regulate some of these towns because it's a runaway budget. It's a quarter of $1 billion to run the town of Plymouth. Again, a quarter of $1 billion per year.
Deb, what will you do with what you've learned campaigning?
Well, one of the really big issues that I've learned campaigning is how desperately people feel about the Pilgrim nuclear plant and its shutdown. Not only that it's going to shut down, but the other two key issues are around what's going to happen to the workers who are there. Is there any program in place for re-educating them or helping them find other jobs? And the other huge issue down there has to do with what are we going to do with all those spent fuel rods? The plant was designed to hold 800, and there's now over 3,000 down there. That's a huge issue for the entire district. The other thing that is just a terribly burning issue for me is health care and access to health care and working towards a single-payer health care system. We've had a lot of that work been ongoing over the years here in Massachusetts, and it's really time to bring that home.
Thank you.
Okay. Let me just continue with that idea of health care. You, Deb, you're a proponent of a single-payer health care system. Do you think people's premiums would actually go down, and by what kind of a percentage?
I think what we need to do is figure out what does a single-payer health program really look like. Is it a government-run program? Does it run something on the grounds of, like, Medicare? And maybe instead of paying huge health insurance premiums, you have something more like the FICA tax that comes out of your paycheck, which would be way less than the monthly premium that you're paying, and then you could purchase a supplemental. There's a wide variety of options that are available. We really have to put together a task force who can come up with the options that are available in order to enact a single-payer health system. You know, the insurance industry, we know, is a huge employer. I mean, that becomes another part of the picture in terms of looking at how does this work. And so how do you put together some kind of collaboration, perhaps, between the state and the private sector that can really create a single-payer system? So I think we have a number of options out there, and we need the experts to come in and give us some advice, and then we need to act on it.
Okay. Stephen Michael Palmer, what do you think about health insurance? Single-payer system. Do you think that's the way to go, or do you think we should be looking in another direction?
Again, healthcare is a racehorse. Just keep going. It just keeps going up. Again, healthcare is a major issue. President Trump is coming up. It's not Obamacare anymore. Obamacare was a disaster. Trump administration is working on different avenues of a single payment for people that don't have health care. I talk to a lot of people and they don't have health care. Their company should cover it, and they're getting away with it. It's like when I was talking to a woman, and she was running a restaurant, and the MassHealth is sending her a $3,000 bill per quarter, and she can't pay it. And people, we've got to revise the health care tremendously, and I don't have the answer for that, to tell you the truth.
Okay. Kevin Tocci, questions for the candidates?
I want to follow up on something that Deb had brought up during one of her previous answers, and it's the Pilgrim Nuclear Power Station. We know it's supposed to be going offline next year.
Right.
Give me your thoughts as to the role that state government and the Plymouth legislative delegation should be engaged in when it comes to cleaning up that site and the disbursement of those workers who will be without employment. We'll start with Stephen.
I know people that work for the power plant, and I picketed there when they went on strike. Talked to someone that came out of a Stop and Shop, and he had come from Nevada to work for the power plant. And the power plant, the reason why it's going under is the fact is that the government doesn't support it. There has been also, Trump administration has been talking, I've read a few articles in the New York Times that he might even try to keep it open. I don't want to see it closed. I know those spent rods are there. I have toured that plant myself. I was a town meeting member for that precinct. I'm glad it's safe as it is now. You know, the RN, Regulatory Commission, is doing what they want. I mean, we have no say. There's nothing that we possibly can do to save that plant. You know, it's going to be decommissioned, and I hope everything goes well. I don't have the answer for that.
Thank you.
Same question. I will have a follow-up. So if you could answer the same question, Deb.
Sure, thanks. I think in terms of your question about what should the legislative delegation be doing to help address this problem, our legislative delegation has got to be working with the NRC and with our federal delegation in order to get some control over this program. It's just the NRC just continues to give us a green light to keep that plant commissioned when that plant is failing. It has one of the worst records of any nuclear power plant in the country. It has been shut down at least 4 times in the first 6 months of this year, this calendar year alone. There's always one problem after another. That does not give me any kind of sense of security in how they have built the containment fields for the waste that is being stored there, and some of those are already beginning to deteriorate. On top of that, we have the problem of rising sea levels, and that plant is right on the water. We really need to get to be working with the federal legislation in order legislators to get control and impact in the NRC.
Thank you.
If you are, let's say you are elected come November, you know, what would you do to get on top of this immediately in regards to remediation of the site, what's going to be done once it's shut down?
The first thing that I would do is try to find colleagues who are also interested in this problem. I know it's a huge issue downwinders, and I know that Senator Scheer has a big interest in this issue as well, is to get together and work collaboratively with whoever else is interested in this problem, and then bring the state delegation into talks with whoever our federal representatives are, so that then we can build a comprehensive approach to how do we want to approach the NRC, how do we want to approach who should we be talking with in terms of workers, and really making sure that we're doing something that can help our workers. How are we going to move forward with dealing with what's contained down there? We have a variety of problems down there that we have to get on top of.
Same question, Stephen.
I have to agree with Debbie. As the fact is, you know, the federal government has to come in and, you know, take command. The NRC is, you remember when I was running against Teresa Murray, they said they're the worst people to talk to because they don't answer phone calls and, you know. But the federal government has to come in. It's over our heads here in the Plymouth County, and it has to be a coalition of federal, state, and town officials to get an oversized committee together and work it out, because we are in trouble.
And just a reminder, you're listening to 95.9 FM in Marshfield, WATD, the South Shore's news and information station. Any follow-up question, Kevin? Okay, let's go to Charles Mathewson. The questions for the candidates here on this political forum. They are the Democrats vying to be on the general election ballot. This is for the primary race. We've got Deb Rudolph and Stephen Michael Palmer for the Plymouth and Barnstable Senate seat.
Well, this is the forum for the Democratic nomination that you're each running for. We will not have a Republican forum because Vinnie DiMaceto is running unopposed, I might say again, because he's been very successful as a state representative and now a state senator. This is an odd district politically. It includes some very conservative towns on the Cape, some conservative towns on this side of the canal.
how are you going to differentiate yourself and be successful against a formidable opponent like Vinny? Stephen?
You know, Vinny's a nice guy. There's no question about it. I think he's entrenched. I think he's been there too long. I think we need some new ideas, and we need some new people. The Pedro Ledger has come out and said that they tell Vinny how to vote 94% of the time. So that leaves us with 6% of people's voices. It's political action committees, it's lobbyists, and special interest groups that are ruining this Commonwealth and raising taxes for everybody in Pembroke, Kingston, Plymouth, Bourne, Sandwich, and Falmouth. I hear it all the time, Charlie. This has to stop.
Deb, how do you go up against Vinny?
By looking at his voting record. I think that Mr. DiMacedo has a lengthy voting record where he has not stood up for a lot of the values that the people of this district really support. And I think that in terms of the blue wave that is coming through, a lot of people are getting active. And I think the Democrats have to show up. The Democrats have to come out and vote. They have to come out and really make their voices heard. Without that, we're not going to be able to move forward. I think people, groups like Indivisible Plymouth, groups like all of the town Democratic town committees are really getting reinvigorated and are really having an impact in their towns. And I think that it has to be, it absolutely has to be a grassroots door-to-door knocking event because that's what it's going to take. But somebody who has has an A-plus rating from the NRA and a zero rating from Planned Parenthood on women's issues, that's a differentiating aspect. And I think I do stand as a progressive Democrat, and that's where I will make my mark.
Okay.
What does it matter to the average voter whether or not you get elected? Deb?
I think what it matters to the average voter is that I'm the average voter. I'm not a lifetime politician. I'm a person who has worked hard all my life in order to advocate for people and for people who are just struggling day to day, paycheck to paycheck. I've been in that boat. When I first came to Boston, I had $100 in my pocket and $100 in food stamps. I had a baby who had a congenital heart defect, and I had no job. I got an apartment because a friend of mine co-signed for it. And I have just one step at a time worked my way up. I know what it's like to be one paycheck away from having your life fall apart. I am the average voter, and that's why the average voter will vote for me.
Thank you. Stephen Michael Palmer, same question. What does it matter to the average voter whether or not you get elected?
I'm a working class American, Irish Catholic Democrat, been a lifetime Democrat. I have served on town meeting members' boards. I was a town meeting member in Braintree when I was 17 and a half, served when I was 18. I was a town meeting member in Plymouth for 6 years. I'm a commissioner for housing redevelopment in Plymouth also. And the average person is on my concern. Again, I'm working class. I'm going to represent the working class. I'm not going to be a political action committee. I'm not taking money from lobbyists. You will get what you see, and that is service. In my community, I am not lip service. I'm community service, and they know what I'm talking about.
Okay. Kevin Tachi, question for the candidates here.
Massachusetts has always found a way to lead the nation when it comes to providing education for our children. However, there are towns and cities around the state that struggle on an annual basis to properly fund their school districts. What needs to be done on the state level to fix this problem? Stephen.
Well, in my speech here, my opening remarks, we were talking about the school funding was a horror show with this $42 billion state budget. The way they fund schools is 25 years behind the time. And there was newspaper articles written in the Globe and the Herald about how bad it has gotten. They have under funded the whole state school funding. They're more interested in the racetrack than school funding. We need more money for programs, for equipment, and simple things, pens and pencils and paper.
Okay.
Same question, Deb.
Thank you. You know, school funding is governed by Chapter 70 of the Mass General Laws. It's outdated, it's outmoded, and we really need to rewrite that. We need to take a hold of Chapter 70, go through it article by article, or throw the whole thing out and create a new one. It was based on a different kind of demographics than what we need to address today. And so the basic way to deal with that is to get through Chapter 70. We also need to be looking at doing more pairing with businesses so that we can really help our kids learn a work ethic as well as an education ethic and get our local businesses and get our community more integrated so that we can have more business education partnerships. A lot of adult education is moving in that direction, really talking with businesses about what they need, what kind of skills, what kind of talents are they looking for. And so we need to build that kind of partnership so that it's not all coming out of the taxpayers' pocket. But public education is a taxpayers' problem. We're the ones who have to fund it. It's in our best interest to make sure we have a well-educated population.
Okay. I want to move on to the lightning round now. This is where we ask the questions that have the answers that are either yes or no or one or two sentences tops. And the reporter will say, I want a yes or no answer or one or two sentences tops. So let's start our lightning round with Charles Mathewson.
What are your top news sources, Stephen?
Two sentences?
Yeah, two sentences.
New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Boston Herald, Boston Globe, Christian Science Monitor, and The Pilot.
Deb Rudolph.
NPR, I listen to a lot of NPR, and then also The Wall Street Journal, The New York Times, and then WATD. I love listening to the local news coverage that WATD provides.
Okay, thank you. All right, question for you. Two sentences. Is there enough transparency in state government? Deb Rudolph.
Absolutely not. There's too much that happens behind closed doors, and we really have to start opening some of that up.
Okay. Two sentences. Is there enough transparency in state government? Stephen Michael Palmer.
Positively not. Fact is it's only no. It's waiting in line at the registry for 3 hours, and half your paycheck when they're given okay. $18 million raises.
Let's go over to you, Kevin Tachi.
Would you ever support or vote for open road tolling? We'll give one to two sentences.
Okay. Let's start with Stephen Michael Palmer on this one.
I didn't get the question, Tim.
Open road tolling. Would you support or vote for it if you were elected?
I'd vote for it.
Deb?
I need more information before I can answer that question.
Mm-hmm. Charles Mathewson?
Do you have any podcasts that you listen to?
Who do you want to start with?
Stephen.
I don't, Charlie.
I don't either, Charlie.
Okay.
That's a question, I guess, for a younger candidate.
Okay.
I thought it was a drink.
However, but the question for every candidate is Plymouth County government, stay or time to leave? Two sentences, Deb Rudolph.
Time to leave.
Okay.
I think the Plymouth County government is outdated, outmoded, and too much of a special interest group.
Okay. Stephen Michael Palmer, Plymouth County government, time to stay, time to leave?
Time to take a hike.
Okay. Thank you. Kevin Tachi, giggling in the corner. Questions for the candidates.
Yes. One word that would best describe you. One word.
Deb.
One word.
That's too hard, Kevin.
One word.
Adventurous.
Service.
Charles Mathewson, question for the candidates. Don't and mention the word podcast.
I listen to podcasts. I really enjoy them.
Oh, good. I'm so glad.
Yeah. What's your current favorite TV show or what movie do you want to see, Deb?
I want to see Incredibles, too. I want to go see it with my grandson. He's been in the hospital a lot this summer, and he's been looking forward to that, and that's what I want to get to do.
Okay, Stephen Michael Palmer.
I'm a Turner Classics
kind of guy.
I sure am. I'm old school. Call me old school, like the Cadillac out in the parking lot.
I noticed when we came in. Yeah.
Okay. I had one question here, but I should have asked you, how do you make the perfect martini? But I was just being a wise guy writing the questions here. I won't ask you that one, but what I want to do is want to go to your final statements now, and I want to keep them to a minute here on this political forum. And again, the two Democrats vying for the primary ballot, and it's for the Plymouth Barnstable State Senate seat. We're going to reverse the order that we went through in the beginning, so we're going to go with closing statements. Stephen Michael Palmer first, and then to Deb Rudolph.
I'm asking you for a change. Like you, I've had enough of the status quo up there above us on Beacon Hill. Up there, it isn't politics, it's politricks. Politicians have turned democracy into a democracy. You have the power in your hands to vote. You still have a vote, so get out and vote before the government makes you broke. You can remember my name. I'm not Arnold Palmer. I'm Stephen Michael Palmer, lifelong Democrat in Duffer.
Thank you. That was Stephen Michael Palmer, closing statement. Deb Rudolph, closing statement.
I want to thank WATD and all the people that are here today for this opportunity to really address and get a little voice out there. I'm just so excited about going forward. I think there's tremendous possibility, and we're only limited by our imaginations. It's time to move forward. It's time to get a new voice and get some new energy and excitement and really move into a new era. I'm Deb Rudolph, and I'm asking for your vote in the upcoming primary so that I can work for you up in Boston. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You heard the two statements of the two candidates, Deb Rudolph, Stephen Michael Palmer. It's for the Plymouth and Barnstable State Senate seat. They're the Democrats. They want to be on the election ballot to run against the Republican incumbent. And if you're not sure if you live in that district, it's Bourne, Falmouth, Kingston, Pembroke, Plymouth, and Sandwich. And of course, this entire forum will be up on our WATD website tomorrow. We'll also have selected cuts to run during morning drive. I want to thank Charles Mathewson for asking questions with me tonight. And we've also got Kevin Tachi asking questions and doing double duty there on the video. And that means also a thank you to Whitman Hansen Community Access Television for helping us out here tonight. Again, this will be shown statewide. And thank you, Kevin, for being an expert in that area as well, Mr. Multimedia Man. And next to Kevin, is that Vanna White? No, it's WATD's Amy Leonard, just as lovely as Vanna, quick with the timing, and she's got the yellow, the red, and green cards that make us stick to our time. So thank you so much for joining us, and stay tuned. We'll be back, and we're going to talk to the we've invited the three Republicans that are running for the Senate seat. It looks like just one showing up. We'll give you a little bit of history on that right after we take this quick commercial break. And we always tell folks, remember, primary night, September 4th, get out and vote. If you don't vote, you don't have a voice. I'm Christine James. Stay tuned.